I'm going to speak about... Oops.
There we go.
Today I'm going to speak about the recovery and beneficial reuse of phosphorus from dairy wastes in Colorado. But first I'd like to thank my co-authors and mentors, Dr. Jessica Davis and Dr. Jim Ippolito from Colorado State University and Dr. Ron Sheffield from the University of Idaho. So, by manner of brief introduction, as you may be aware and familiar with the overapplication of phosphorus in dairy manures can lead to, the application of phosphorus in dairy manures at nitrogen rates can lead to an overapplication of phosphorus. Over time, the phosphorus can build up, and this leads to a potential water quality risk. So the solution that some people came up with is, okay, why don't we remove some of the phosphorus? And they identified struvite, which is magnesium ammonium phosphate hexahydrate, as a potential target to focus on to precipitate the phosphorus out of the wastewater. Now, struvite has been looked at mostly as a fertilizer because of its chemical composition. It's not very useful in the current phosphorus industry due to high levels of magnesium and ammonia or nitrogen. So they've looked at it primarily as a fertilizer on acid soils, but there to date has really not been anyone who has looked at it on alkaline soils, even though Dr. Lindsay in his 1979 book identified struvite as a potential fertilizer, phosphorus fertilizer in calcareous soils. So the objectives of our study were, first of all, proof of concept to show that we could remove phosphorus from dairy manure at Colorado dairies, and then to evaluate the reactor performance, to examine the product, and finally to apply the product as a fertilizer and to see how it works. So a very brief overview of the different methods we used. We treated dairy wastewater using two different processes, which we called the conventional and the new process. The new process may, in fact, produce a soil amendment which is usable in organic agriculture, because there are some challenges with phosphorus fertilization in organic agriculture. I recently wrote a proceedings paper which I'd be happy to point you to if you want more specific details about the water treatment process. We took the product of this process, which is high in phosphorus. We examined it and other recovered phosphates using X-ray diffraction, and then when we didn't find what we expected with X-ray diffraction, we looked at it under a scanning electron microscope and did some elemental analysis with energy dispersive spectroscopy. And then finally, after we were done looking at the products, we applied the different treatments. We had five different treatments, including two commercial fertilizer treatments and three recovered phosphates in a greenhouse at both low and high soil pH, which, as you see here, are 6.4 for the low and 7.6 for the high. Our plant was hard red spring wheat, and it was a three-month study. We cut the wheat three times. So here you can see in the picture on the left side a picture of the reactor. Behind me you can see a reactor cone right here and a pretreatment tank right here and some chemicals and additives and things that we had up in the foreground. The wastewater treatment, we removed approximately 14% of both phosphorus and magnesium from the reactor input to the reactor output, which is significantly lower than the original study that the reactor was based on, which was in swine manure in North Carolina. But it's very comparable to other results at dairies. So we're confident that right now this is where the reactor performance stands. The other issue is that the product we obtained was not crystalline, although for our greenhouse study we were able to obtain crystalline struvite, which we used. I just included this slide to show that, as you can see, the blue is before and the yellow is after the reactor, so we did in fact see removal in the new method of total phosphorus, magnesium, and both total and ammonium nitrogen from the reactor input to output. Here you see two pictures of the product. The top was made by Dr. Bowers in Washington from dairy manure. As you can see, it has a regular crystalline structure. The bottom was one of my favorite particles that we made in Colorado. It looks kind of like a bunch of grapes with tendrils coming off. At best, it's semi-crystalline, and it's not quite as pure as the magnesium phosphates on the surface in the top particle. And if you'd like more information on this, I actually have a poster today. The session number is 24614. You're welcome to stop by. I'd love to see if you have time. The final phase that we did was we applied our magnesium phosphates as phosphorus fertilizers in the greenhouse. And here you can see that the struvite that Dr. Bowers made had an intermediate amount of P2O5. We also used dipmarite, which was recovered from a food processing plant in Idaho. And as you can see, the chemical formula for that is identical to struvite, with the exception of the fact that it is the monohydrate version rather than the hexahydrate. And that, in terms of phosphorus content, is similar to triple superphosphate. The product that we made in Colorado has the lowest phosphorus content, and I believe that is due to some contamination we had of the bed. We ended up getting a lot of sand coming up into the system from the bottom of the dairy lagoon. So on a weight basis, that certainly decreases the amount of phosphorus in the final product. And then our two commercial treatments are at the bottom. We had triple superphosphate and rock phosphate, which was a certified organic commercial amendment, and the triple superphosphate, of course, was commercially available fertilizer. So when we take a look at the results of the greenhouse trials, and these are only selected results, I'm still working through the data, there are some intricacies. At highest soil pH, we did see significant difference between the control treatment and all of the non-control treatment, or the control and all of the non-control treatments, with the exception of the rock phosphate, which can be expected because rock phosphate has been shown to be not a particularly good fertilizer on calcareous soils, both due to the high pH and also the high free calcium content. However, we were not able to separate the dry matter production, separate any of the means for the treatments, with the exception of the control. So we weren't able to make any conclusions about which fertilizers performed the best versus others. I also selected the low soil pH plant phosphorus content to present today. We did see some significant differences here between the control and both the dipmarite and the TSP treatments, triple superphosphate. And those were both the highest phosphorus treatments, so that might be expected. Now the struvite, I included it because it was very close to the alpha of 0.05, but officially at 0.05 it was not significantly different. However, depending on how you want to interpret that, maybe that is some evidence that the struvite fertilizer was effective in increasing plant phosphorus contents. Oh, that's not right. Okay, thank you. So our conclusions of the study were, first, that phosphorus and magnesium can indeed be removed from dairy wastewater. However, the reactor removal rates leave something to be desired. 14% really isn't enough to make it economical. If we can get it up to 30 to 50%, which there are people working on that right now, I do feel that this might be a useful tool in helping to preserve water quality. So those rates need optimization. The other thing that we found is that the product is not always either uniform or consistent, even if you do see phosphorus removal in the wastewater. So the product you get on a microscopic level may be very different from process to process. And finally, we did find in the greenhouse trials that there is some evidence, although at this point the strength of that evidence is kind of in question, that magnesium phosphates may in fact be equivalent to other commercially available phosphates across a whole range of soil pH, including low to high. There are some tricky bits of the data, though, so I'm still going through that. We'd like to take this in the future both towards the direction of optimizing the reactor performance and product characteristics. And we'd also like to look at magnesium phosphates as fertilizers across a whole range of calcareous soils, a range of textures, and also a range of free calcium contents. And finally, we'd like to check out magnesium phosphates under non-irrigated conditions when I'm not watering them every 2 days. And sometime in the far future, we'd like to do field trials when the technology is more developed. Finally, I'd like to thank the funding agencies and my co-workers and assistants, Kathy Duskin, Addie Elliott, Michael Smith, Robert Young, John Stromberger, who helped us with the wheat, and Dr. Jim Self, who helped us with chemical analysis. Thank you very much for your time, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes, sir.
Since the basis of your research was to try to, what was the excess phosphorus when you apply on an end-based radio, I wonder why would you want to remove struvite, which has a nitrogen and phosphorus in a 1:1 molar basis? It seems like you wouldn't be changing the N-to-P balance in the manure.
Well, the nitrogen concentrations in the wastewater are significantly higher, can be as high as 10 times higher than phosphorus concentrations. We were seeing nitrogen in 900 to maybe 100 to 160 ppm phosphorus. So if you remove some of the nitrogen and a lot of the phosphorus, it can significantly change the N to P ratio.